Welcome to
Naming It, where we discuss pop culture, current events, and how they relate to the way that we live our lives, all through the lens of two black psychologists.
Naming It is dedicated to acknowledging the elephant in the room, validating the lived experience of people of color. Coming to you from the Bay Area, California, we thank you for joining us.
I'm Dr. Bedford Palmer.
And I'm Dr. Lamisha Hill. Music on Naming It is provided by Lee England Jr., the soul violinist. Good morning, evening, afternoon.
Yeah.
Welcome to Naming It.
Welcome to Naming It, y'all.
Episode 23.
Deuce Trey.
Shout out to Michael Jordan. Stand up, Chicago Bulls.
Man, can we get like more than 2 seconds in the episode without you starting talking about Chicago?
I put on for my city, Bedford.
You live in Oakland.
Chicago made me who I am.
Yeah, well. Yo, what's up, Warriors and Lakers?
Welcome to Naming It, y'all. Today we have some special guests with us. Today we are joined by Jason and Angelica Sweeting of Naturally Perfect Jaws. What's up, Jason?
What's up? How are you?
Doing well.
What's going on, bro? You got a team you want to shout out since we threw out ours?
Oh, well, no, not right now. I don't really like any of them.
Okay, well, way to be honest. No.
Don't really like any of them. We have to wait a little while and kind of see where things land. It's weird. I was talking to a buddy of mine last night, and I rate teams differently. I rate them on how, like, the franchise treats the it's weird. I'm a Raiders fan. I think they're pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Because over time, they've been pretty consistent on how they treat people. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. If you can play, you get a shot.
Okay.
I hate the Dolphins. You know what I'm saying? Because, that's my new way right now.
All right. I like that. I like that collective spirit, right? How corporations and companies treat their people.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. We got that social justice. I feel that. So let's go ahead and introduce Jason so everybody knows him and where they're coming from.
All right. So Jason and Angelica, who may join us, Sweeting, are owners and creators of Naturally Perfect Dolls. These entrepreneurs were recently featured on Shark Tank and have hit the spotlight with a partnership from Shark CEO Damon John and an article in the Huffington Post. Angelica and Jason explained that when they saw the standard images of beauty that their children saw on television and in toys, they began searching for dolls that looked more like their daughter and found nothing. So they created a doll and over time found a change in their daughter's self-esteem. Naturally Perfect Dolls aims to change the standard of beauty one doll at a time while encouraging self-acceptance, diversity, and empowerment.
All right. Does that sound about right?
Ooh. That's us. That's what we did.
Did I get it?
Kind of weird to hear, but I love it, though.
Oh, you're going to hear a lot of that, man. People are going to be describing everything you're doing.
Yeah. So we will definitely talk more specifically about Naturally Perfect Dolls and really the intersection of empowerment for young women of color. But we're going to start with our shout-outs.
Shout-out. Okay. So, the first shout out, can I do mine?
Go for it.
Okay. I wanted to quickly shout out our social justice hero, Star Ringgold, who was in our debut episode of Real Talk.
One on one.
Yeah. So we did
Coffee. No sugar, no racism. And you added no Trump. I didn't say that in the...
Yeah.
I think I'm bad for going and adding stuff behind my back. Okay,
yo,
that's cool.
Hey, it needed to come out. It was like... It was inspiration, you know, no coffee, no sugar, black coffee, Black coffee, no sugar, no racism, no Trump.
Right.
And the reason we put it out there like that was just because... the reason I added it was because... When I decided to like throw it up, there was just this whole thing about it's the day before the inauguration And there's these like reports of people doing really heinous stuff in mm-hmm. his name, you know? So it was like, well, we got this tape of this woman who basically stepped up and told someone off when they were saying racist stuff. So
yes, we appreciate it. And it sounded great. Y'all did a great job. It was a beautiful interview.
No, we got like crazy hits on that. Like, I didn't tell you this, so let me just tell you this. We got over 3,000 hits on that.
Yo. What?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy, Star, right? Is a superstar. Thank you, Star, for that Oakland representation.
Yeah.
All right, Jason, you want to shout out anybody?
Shout out to the Qs.
Oh, you're a Q? My dad's a Q. Okay,
shout out to your dad. There you go. Shout out to the Qs. If Angelica's here, I'm sure she'll say shout out to the Ks. Everyone who's trying. I like to say shout out to you guys, man. It doesn't matter what level of success you feel as though you're at. Someone taught me that success is a pathway and not a destination. So as long as you're making your way, you're doing it.
Wonderful. All right.
Are you going to shout out? Is there one more shout out you want to throw out there?
Bedford's angling.
From ABC? I'm just saying, bro. It's your time.
Man, I think they're huge, but you know, shout out to everybody, man. I appreciate the staff at ABC and the folks at Shark Tank, Laura and Nicole and Damon and everybody who just played a part in making it comfortable for us, making sure that we were successful and depicted well. So I appreciate it.
That's what's up.
Wonderful. So next, we're going into our segment on check-ins.
Well, you didn't do your
shout-out. You know what? I'm going to throw it in the check-in.
Okay. Let's go check-in.
So today, across the country, it's a national call to action surrounding the Women's March, which the primary march is in Washington, D.C., happening right now. And separate city-specific marches sprung up across the country. So here in the Bay Area, just want to shout out and also check in about the marches that are happening in San Francisco, in Oakland, in Walnut Creek, in San Jose. People are out braving this weather. It's raining on and off out here. So I don't know what it's doing everywhere else, but they came out in droves. Yes.
Australia, Rome. It's all over the world. London, like women are marching all over the world today, not just our country. And it's really, really powerful to see. Mm-hmm. My girls and I, we woke up this morning when I was making breakfast and we were watching for what's her name on MSNBC?
Joy Reid.
Joy in the Morning.
Yeah.
Love her. Oh, gosh. So it was fun. And just seeing all those ladies together, I think is powerful.
It's real. Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing that so many folks are moving at the same time in different places. You know, mm-hmm. like usually it's, you know, everyone wants to meet up in one place. It's always a march on D.C. by itself. Mm-hmm. But the fact that people are going to, I mean, you can't go outside your house today without seeing it, right. You know, without being part of that, without understanding. And I think that, you know, I have a certain feeling about marches. Like there needs to be a point and a purpose and like you need to have an ask at the end of it, you know. But the level, the sheer numbers, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And I think that it has to be impactful.
If you want anything done well, you ask a lady to do it for you. And trust me, it'll be taken care of. At least that's my opinion. Always has been.
You just made a friend.
Jason's made many friends.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm looking at Lamisha lighten up. Just got all shiny.
I just appreciate it. Yeah.
It's the truth. It is the truth, I promise. It's not just like a punchline or something I'm saying to sound cool. It's the truth. I really do believe that in my life it's been that way, whether it was a school principal or a teacher or the first lady to give me an audition for Berklee School of Music. Shout out to Dr. Alexandria Holloway, another fantastic AKA in my life. Or my sister, Dr. Contessa Bryant, who's the head of the 5,000 Role Models of Excellence program here in Miami, Florida. Whatever you give a woman to do, it'll be done.
That's real.
It wasn't Harry Tubman. It was Harriet. Mm. No, like the lady did it.
There you go.
We never heard that one.
Yeah, that was
before.
New. That's new. It wasn't no Harry. Harry Tubman didn't do nothing.
Right.
You know, that's real.
The house.
he said he wasn't going to come, so she had to do what she had to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because she didn't leave
and
nobody
so
behind.
It's so crazy. So many times we force women to have to do things. And it just so happens that they're malleable enough of spirit and soul to do it.
Oh, man. I thought you were a good entrepreneur. I didn't know you were a poet, too, brother.
Okay, now.
You know what I'm saying?
I just speak with passion and conviction. I lost my mom in 2008 to breast cancer. And I've been surrounded in my life, honestly, by probably some of the most powerful women in the world.
I hear that.
So everything from hearing about stories when my grandmother was told she couldn't go to school anymore because the white man's wife up the block got sick. So she had to go tend to his house and she was four. And that started off how she was keeping, as she would call it, keeping white folks' house. Everything from hearing those stories till today, ladies have carved this situation out. They deserve that respect and applause. And moving forward, they deserve the rightful seat at the table and not just any seat at the table. It means something to me.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think people... when they talk about specifically like the black male experience, they'll talk in terms of black men being raised by women and they make that into some sort of deficiency type of situation. When I think, in fact, you know, I think it's a very common piece, not just to be raised by primarily women, but like you said, to be mentored. You know, like when you're going through college or you're going into your first job, a lot of times that first manager or the first advisor or the first professor, that's going to be a black woman who's going to pick you up, you know, whether you have male mentors or not. I think it's a shared experience. And I totally agree with you. I mean, I can think of the moms and aunties that I had at different stages of my life that were just, it wasn't that I got set up with them. It was just that they pulled me under their wing and I would not at all be where I am without them. So I'm with you, brother.
Tell me about it. And while I'm thinking about that, shout out to Monique Dennis, the first lady to give me an internship and really teach me what brand and PR and placement and all really meant when it came down to the marketplace and not the classrooms. It's always been a lady to lead the way, as well as it should be.
Wonderful. You know, you're reminding me of Bedford, our first episode, where we took the time to acknowledge all of our mentors and people who made a way for us. And so it's just so beautiful, you know, never having met you, Jason, in person, that we have so many similarities in how we move through the world and really like to, I think either it's just personally or perhaps culturally or some intersection, you know, really hold the space and give that acknowledgement to those heroes and cheeros.
Yeah, that's culture. That is culture right there. You know, you don't, you coming from an African-centered cultural space, ain't nobody move forward without ancestors. You know, you got to go with the people who put you up. And if you don't, you see what happens, you know. And I think that folks who have sense get that. And obviously, brother Jason Sweeting, he has sense.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So with all of that,
I thank God for the tool that he gave me. I'm gonna try and make something out of it.
All right, so that definitely takes us into our what's going on section. So play the jams, Bedford.
Oh, playing the jams. So go ahead, y'all do that.
What's going on?
Hey, going on.
What's going on?
You just clip that and use that for the rest of the time. You got to do
All right. So what is going on?
What's going on?
What's the elephant in the room right now?
I mean, there's no the elephants in the White House right now. Shit.
Come on.
I can't help it. I'm just saying.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
Making the whole house. Just mess the whole house up.
And trampling all over stuff.
Come on.
I mean,
be honest, you know, like my knee-jerk reaction is a lot like where you are right now, because that's the knee-jerk reaction. Because as kindly as I can put it, you know, the guy's best seems horrible.
That's as kind as you can get.
As kind as I can be. So it's Monday. It's Dr. King's celebration. Talking to the girls about it, I have to go to the store. So rather than turn on my iPod and listen to music or that sort of thing, I said, well, I'm going to turn on a Dr. King speech. I'll go to the store and listen to a speech and I'll blast that, you know, because, you know, we blast music in Miami. That's what we do. We turn it up loud at the gas station. We ride with loud music. So I'm at the red light with the speech turned up to 50. I mean, so anybody who's around me, they know what I'm listening to.
Right.
When Dr. King says something, he says that we all are part of an inescapable mutuality.
Yes.
Say that again.
And when he said it, he said that we're all a part of an inescapable mutuality.
That's what's up.
I tell you, the words punched me in my throat, because no matter how you feel about him, he's the president of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might not like him. Maybe you do. And this is for not just you, but for your listeners. But it doesn't matter, because his experience, his success is really going to be your experience and your success. His failures will be your failures. What we all have to marshal ourselves into doing is not just poke and point. We don't just want to poke fun. We don't want to just point out all of his shortcomings. What we need to do is poke the fires of our passions, that we can rise higher. The king was very, very smart. He was, in fact, maybe one of the smartest people that have ever walked this earth. Not only that, he was kind and passionate and civil, but he was also extremely fiery passionate when it came down to making sure folks got their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
For folks, black folks, brown folks, underrepresented and misrepresented. So here we are at this great impasse of yesterday, and I can't help but think about the inescapable mutuality that Dr. King mentioned in his speech.
Mm-hmm. And what he also said, I believe, and I think that we're thinking of the same speech, he also said that our lives and our futures are inextricably linked.
Right.
That we are absolutely tied together. And there is something to honor in that. And I think there's room to explore ways that, you know, with the reality of the administration and the power of policy and the pen, how if we are not collective in our universal efforts towards justice and towards freedom, that those things do have the ability to be changed and undone.
Right. Hey, you know, the thing that I would throw out there, and, you know, Lamisha is always, she's not always, but she generally is the more diplomatic.
That's true. I was about to get on you, and I was like, well, that's true.
You did. What I would say is, and I'm still be diplomatic. I'll just say this. Like, I think that, you know, in a representative democracy, it is it is absolutely the responsibility of the people who are in opposition to be in as full opposition as possible in order to push for the justice that they're looking for. And so I think, you know, I snipe at him mainly because, you know, he can, you know, he doesn't. He's whack. But, it is true. But, like,
I'm just over here shaking my head, y'all.
Shake your head. But I think that, like, he hasn't shown he hasn't said or done anything over the course of his campaign that I can go, oh, I can work with him on that. He's instead threatened and undermined and bullied and done a bunch of stuff. So as soon as he says, like, oh, you know, it's like what Obama said, you know, if he's able to give a better alternative to the Affordable Care Act, then I'm on board. Let's do it. But if he's just talking about, like, coming with, you know, talking points that is red meat for his folks and mostly detrimental to people of color and different marginalized communities, then, yeah, it's going to be 4 years of the we can call ourselves the coffee party, right? And we got to do what we can to get somebody in there who's going to do what they can do for us. Just like, you know, folks did with him, you know, so.
Well, I want to know, did y'all watch the inauguration?
8 years ago where we, you know, I'm sorry?
I was going to say, did y'all watch the inauguration?
Yes, I was tied to it, actually, glued. It was almost, I wanted to put the phone down. I wanted to stop streaming it on Facebook. I wanted to start watching it, but I just could not. One, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of pomp.
Like the parades and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, like I want to see what happens. You know what I'm saying? Because just something that massive, the lighting of the Christmas tree in Times Square, marches or anything, I like to see how it happens because, you know, there's just something I like to do. I think that we have to. I'm not letting this guy off the hook, like by no stretch of the imagination. He's not shown himself to be a respectable person. He's not shown himself to be an amazing person. However, that chair and that desk does something to a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
it's not like being the CEO of Xerox, and it's not like who is another powerful Black woman. Shout out to, I can't think of her name, but they rated her like the 22nd most powerful Black woman in the world. Or woman in general in the world. But it's not like being like a hedge fund manager. No, this is real. So he might go in being Donald Trump that we see from The Apprentice, but it'll probably take a week and a half before it starts acting like a president. That chair and that desk and that office have a way of making you do that.
Well, you know, I think that that brings us right into what we were, you know, in terms of thinking about the thing that for me was like the biggest part of the whole inaugural day was watching President Obama and the First Family and how they dealt with that transition and how they kind of moved out of that space and you know, seeing them as, because it's not just, I think one of the things that's like difficult about, for instance, Trump is that he's not necessarily a person you can use as a role model, you know, whereas I was watching... Yeah. You know, I was watching just like the small things that the Obamas were doing, and it was just so good to see. You know, like there's a
kiss on the hand.
Well, I mean, like there was like this one scene where, or not scene, but there's a moment when the Obamas and the Trumps walked down the stairs and took a photo op, and the former first lady and the new first lady were both escorted by Marines, and there's this like really small moment where you see how they both react to the Marines and how they react to their husbands. And it was like on one side, the Marine wasn't at all acknowledged. And it was kind of like he was a servant who wasn't there. On the other side, you get like a squeeze of his hand and a whispered thank you in his ear. And then like a holding hands of the couple, you know, and I'm talking about the Obamas there. And it's just like, you know, it's just like, wow, you know, just putting them next to each other, seeing how they treat someone who is subservient, right? Because the Marine is, he's at the pleasure of the president. You could treat him however you want to treat him, but they treated him, on one side there was respect, the other side was disregard. And that's just, right. I find that really interesting to look at those small bits, you know, like the Obama pictures with children. Like, what? Like, are you ever going to see that with any other president, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's very true. That's a great point. I think what we had and what we have are very different. There's a Republican pollster, I can't think of his name, but he did a PBS insider story. And what he explained was that essentially, if you had to get a mirror opposite of Barack Obama, you would get Donald Trump. Mm. One guy's been to school forever and is super smart. The other guy, he went to school for a little bit. He lies about going to business school, but he didn't go to business school. He doesn't have an MBA. Mm. You have one guy who's Black and another guy who's white. Have one guy who's been tied to public service his entire life and another guy who's been tied to public outrage his entire life. This is a Republican pollster saying these things. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think everyone sees the stark difference. Someone is thoughtful and someone is thoughtless. And, you know, you see that.
Right.
But Barack was our president and Donald is now our president.
So that's
under Barack, we had to organize. And I think under Donald, God, for surely we have to organize.
Well, snaps to that, because that's the truth right there. So I feel like with the Obamas leaving the White House and how this ties really directly with your work, Jason, is the representation that the Obamas gave to a nation, but particularly to the African-American community. You know, when we grew up, or I don't know when you grew up, Jason, so I'm going to say when I grew up, you know, I had the Cosby Show, and that was a show. It was a sitcom. It wasn't real. And in 2000, it became real that Black folks could be in such positions and that they were there. And it said something to a community of young people. So today, on today's episode of Real Talk, we're going to talk about the impact of representation in mainstream media on the development of Black beauty. So Real Talk.
Real Talk.
Imagery and Black Beauty. And again, for our listeners, we are joined by Jason Sweeting, who is the CEO and entrepreneur alongside with his wife of Naturally Perfect Dolls. And Jason, we want to know, what can you share a little bit more about what inspired you all to create this line?
Well, the short story is, if I can give you the Reader's Digest version, my daughter had a book fair at her school. She immediately started crying when I picked her up. She said that she needed yellow hair and white skin to be beautiful. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't stop crying. So that night we went to some stores and we didn't find any dolls that looked like her, because we wanted to finally get her something that celebrated her beauty, a toy that she can play with that looked like her, and we couldn't find it. So we essentially decided to make one.
That's awesome.
We made our first doll in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out very well. My daughter started to feel more comfortable about who she was, about her beauty. And a friend of ours said, hey, if it works so well for Sophia, why don't you guys take it somewhere where other people can get it?
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Kickstarter. Kickstarter is this crowdfunding platform, Kickstarter.com. And we had a goal of $25,000. It was huge for us. We couldn't imagine that we could ever raise $25,000 from a crowd of folks. We end up raising that $25,000 in 2 days. Kickstarter campaign is usually about 30 days. So raising your goal in 2 days was a huge shock for us,
mm-hmm.
needless to say. And by the end of the campaign, we had raised nearly 90 grand.
Wow.
What that represented for us was the validity of concept. A lot of people wanted it. And it wasn't just Black folks.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just young folks. It wasn't just millennial moms. It was everybody. Everybody wanted to see a different representation of beauty celebrated with their child in their home.
Wow.
Stories from all kinds of folks poured in over the email, over the phone. People were calling Russell Simmons and Jessica Alba and Oprah Winfrey and all these sort of people. They were like interested in what we were doing. So we knew we had something that was special. We wanted to move forward with it. So we kept going. We kept selling dolls. We kept telling our story. Angelica's done a host of interviews. We've done a lot of them together. Of course, I'm still working because it's about getting the conversation out there. Most recently, we're really, really proud because we were on this season's episode of Shark Tank. Yeah, we were on Shark Tank. And that means a lot because just that amount of time, the conversation was national.
Yeah. So we're going to get in.
Listen, everybody was watching.
Yeah, we're going to get into, we have a specific question about Shark Tank. But before that, you had said some really impactful things.
Yeah. So how does the mission of Naturally Perfect Dolls intersect with social justice?
Well, our mission is to see the full spectrum of beauty displayed up and down each and every toy aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
We want our toy aisles look like our kids' classrooms. There is a test that was done a long time ago by Dr. Kenneth and Amy Clark, where two dolls having no other difference other than the color of their skin were placed before children. And a series of questions were asked, like, who's the nice doll?
Mm-hmm.
Which doll is the criminal?
Mm-hmm.
And this is being asked of little children, age of five or lower, and of course, all of the beautiful doll was the white doll. The criminal was the Black doll. The doll that'll help you is the white doll.
Right. We also were in acknowledgement of that seminal research study by Drs. Clark. And it was over 70 years ago. And many of those studies have been continued to be replicated. And they continue to find that there is internalized racism, not only with Black children, but also with white children, in seeing the preferences for white imagery with the characteristics of good or beautiful and smart, and of the representation of whiteness, and the characteristics of bad or ugly and dumb with the representation of Blackness.
Yeah. For me, that was one of the reasons why I thought your dolls were so intriguing, was the fact that you would directly approach the problem. You know, the internalization comes from media and comes from external stuff. You know, it's not that Black people or white people or even just European and African folk, you know, have these distinctions when they are born. You know, we get taught this. So there's a change that occurs when you change that toy aisle the way you're talking about.
Right.
Exactly. Dr. Bentley Gibson from, I think she's originally from New York, but now she resides and practices in Atlanta, Georgia. And we were discussing this very same concept.
Mm-hmm.
We have to begin to insert into our children's lives a sense of acceptance that the media that they consume regularly just doesn't give them.
Right.
Yeah. It's
important to see that.
So we're kind of, you know, TV geeks and whatnot. And of course, we saw y'all on Shark Tank, and Bedford shared earlier with you that, you know, that's something that him and his partner regularly watch, and they really were rooting for y'all.
Oh, yeah. Let me make this real clear. We are fans of the Shark Tank. We've been watching Shark Tank. I mean, straight up, the Shark Tank is part of what inspired this whole podcast piece, because the entrepreneurial stuff in there, as a psychologist, I think that both me and Dr. Hill can talk to this idea that we're not really taught to be business people. We're taught to be healers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to work real hard to think in terms of getting out there and doing extra stuff and thinking as an entrepreneur anyway. So me and my wife, we watch that pretty much religiously. And we also, the thing that I, you know, just to joke with you a little bit, you know, we watch it the same way we watched Star Search back in the day. You know what I'm saying? So whenever we see a brother or sister come on there, we come on, make sure you know your valuation, man. Don't be asking for don't 200,000 for 2%. Don't do it, man. Don't do it. You need to have your money right, you know? So it was nice to watch y'all. It was nice to watch y'all.
So the question that we have for you, Jason, is what motivated you to pursue Shark Tank as an avenue for your brand? And similar to kind of the TV show The Voice, where contestants are totally happy to just get on the show, but they might want a certain coach. You know, were you hoping for a certain shark?
Yeah, I think at the offset, when you go into the tank, you want to go in as equipped as possible. And I have a wife that really believes in preparation. Shout out to Angelica.
Oh, yeah.
Because studied our butts off. And the most commonly asked questions, the 100 most, we had answers to all of them.
Wow.
That's what's up. Like that.
We had studied for weeks and weeks, and we did it in front of anybody who would listen.
Mm-hmm.
Did it randomly at restaurants before we knew we would get a call on the show. And once we found out we had a call, we were doing it in front of the people who cleaned up at the hotel. We were doing it in front of mirrors. We were just pitching.
Right.
In front of everybody. Because we wanted to be sharp. And we wanted to be prepared. I think it showed when we got into the tank.
Absolutely. And
when we went in, we had an idea of who it would click with. You know that certain sharks tend to invest in certain types of company. But we knew that going in, either Lori,
mm-hmm.
Barbara, she was there, and Damon, we knew it would hit home, because Lori's been a little girl before and Damon's been a minority.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We know that that's where our company was coming from. There was no big tech spin, so Mark wouldn't probably be interested. It didn't have to do with royalty deals and making a whole lot of money for very little work. So we knew that Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, wouldn't be interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I just figured that Robert wouldn't be. It wasn't pets or active sports, and that's kind of where Robert is with his investment.
Yeah. Man, you watch the show for real. Because I was like, hey, you know, the funny part is that my partner, she was saying, she was like, you know, if Barbara was there, she would have picked them up quick, you know, because that's just, y'all just have that style that fits her, because she's quirky with her picks. But y'all were right up in there, you know, especially with yeah. bringing your daughters up, the cuteness of it and everything. I think y'all would have had like my little armchair is that y'all would have had like a double deal with her and Damon, but you know, I know you happy what you got. Cool. So
that'd have been very cool.
So let's what's the next question?
So the next question we had for you, Jason, is we know that you created Naturally Perfect Dolls for your daughters, but how have you seen the line impact them and other young girls that you might have interacted with?
And it's so weird. My kids go to school now, and first day of school, introduce yourself in class. My kid stands up and says, "Hi, I'm Sophia. I'm an entrepreneur."
Oh,
weird.
That's weird. What's up?
So, just the experience of mom and dad have a business, and they're trying to grow their business every day. And literally, she's in on some of the meetings, promise. And she's chiming in, telling us what we should do.
Mm-hmm.
So she feels as though she's a CEO. She has a big company. And she told all of her friends that she was on television, and her teacher, they watched it in the class.
Wow.
Things are changing for her.
Yeah.
Things are definitely changing. My other daughter, Sydney, she's totally cool about it. She's like me. Okay, cool. That's fun. So what's for dinner? She doesn't even care.
Yeah, not fazed by the fame.
Not at all. As long as I'm there to play, or we're going to color, or going to sit and tell me about her day, that's what's cool. All the other stuff, she doesn't.
That's what's up. And you have, like, one of the things about the dolls are they're at least one of them is named after one of your daughters, right?
Actually, the first doll is named after my wife, Angelica.
And is there anything unique about sort of the crafting of the dolls, either their features or their appearance?
Yeah, we tried to make sure that there was a lot of uniqueness when it came down to the dolls, because there's so much competition in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So the unique thing about Naturally Perfect Dolls is that each doll, first and foremost, has a career.
Oh, hey now.
We wanted to make sure that little girls weren't just princesses that were asleep and waiting for guys to kiss them in order to wake them up.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to make sure that they understood that they could go out and be and do anything. So each doll has a career. Angelica is an entrepreneur, and Brielle is a writer and director, and Kennedy is an activist. So each of these dolls have a profession, something that they contribute to society and to the world. Also, the dolls celebrate diverse features. So noses are wider and lips are fuller, and cheeks are higher, and hair is curlier and kinkier.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the hair can be washed and styled just as real hair. It can be brushed and rewashed and bantu knotted and curl wand and everything that you can do to real hair.
I got to say that I was scrolling through some of the images, and I did see a beautiful, cute picture with the doll with a set of flexi rods in her hair. And I was like, go on.
Yes. Would you believe me if I tell you I put them in?
You put those flexi rods in? Oh, well, that's there's nothing better than a dad that can do some hair.
So
I try and do what I can do.
So I have a question for you. Do you have a psychologist doll?
Right now, there's no psychologist doll. However, the line is expanding this summer.
Well,
that's something that we only most recently announced. What we want to make sure people understand first and foremost is that diversity isn't only about color. Living in Miami, we know that first and foremost, because I walked up to a lady thinking that she was a black lady. And when she started talking, she didn't understand any English.
Mm-hmm.
She was an older Cuban lady.
Mm.
So I think we get so caught in color, we miss culture by a mile. But we're adding some more dolls this summer, and it's going to be fantastic. We have a few more professions to select.
Cool.
So I'll definitely make sure that, you know, I have in the next staff meeting, we should talk about adding somebody like a psychologist to the table. That might be nice.
Okay, so LaMisha, you got some hope that you might get a LaMisha dog going.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be cool. We want to make sure that little girls know that they don't have to. Let's just be real, talk about the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is really, if you walk up and down your toy aisle at your store, wherever you are, if you're at this podcast and you're listening or if you're driving, just stop at Walmart or Target or Toys R Us and walk down the toy aisle. Dare you. You're going to see maybe one or two body types for little dolls, whether they be 18 inches or 12 inches or 6 inches. Maybe you'll see one or two. Mm-hmm. And you'll see one or two skin complexions. And maybe if you see a profession, you'll see, one company put out a spaghetti chef.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Another company, and there's nothing wrong with being a spaghetti chef, but this is the aspiration that we're teaching our daughters. Another one is a singer.
Right.
And that's about it. It doesn't really get to be the little doll that's the president.
Right.
Or like, you don't get the little doll that's the psychologist. You don't get the doll that's the doctor.
Right. Or the software engineer or the
scientist.
Right.
What are we teaching our girls to aspire to? This is foolishness. So naturally, we want to see little girls challenged,
mm-hmm.
empowered.
Right. Empowerment.
Deserve it.
Yeah.
Deserve that.
Yeah. I mean, we need that. You know what I'm saying? One of the ways that you look at a African-centered worldview, as we've spoken a little bit about culture, is that there's a common belief around a continuum. And there's the idea that there's the ancestors, you know, there's the people who walk this plane right now, and then there's the children that are to come. And so, you know, there are many proverbs that speak towards having responsibility towards kids and making sure that, you know, we do what we can to make the world the way it needs to be for them, and also to set them up for success so they can be better adults to do better for the kids that come after them. So I think that's something that you're working hard on, and I think it's commendable.
Yes, we are a part of a tapestry, and I appreciate you seeing that. And I see it in you guys as well. We have to continue to light that torch for everyone.
Yes,
we might not be the ones to have a whole college named after us, but maybe it'll be our grandkid. What we have to do is what we have to do right now in order to provide that platform or bed of success.
Right, right.
I think
right.
The most powerful thing a kid can see is a parent that's trying. It changes them and it makes them better.
Well, that's absolutely beautiful. And speaking of building that platform, one of the ways that we do that here on AMIA is talking about our self-care tip of the week.
All right. Self-care tips of the week. It's the power of positive self-care affirmations.
All right. So a positive affirmation is a carefully formed statement, present tense, positive, personal, and specific. You can use positive affirmations to support many areas of life, whether it's tackling a new challenge or breaking through negative self-talk. If your world is missing daily reminders of how you are beautiful, talented, or capable, pull out a journal and craft a personalized statement in the present tense that is positive, personal, and specific. Commit the statement to memory and read it every day.
Yeah. I mean, that's like you're talking about making a mantra, right?
Yes. Yes. It's also referred to as a mantra.
Yeah.
Do you have any mantras, Bedford?
We actually have an affirmation book.
Oh, you do?
I saw that.
Actually, Perfect Dolls. Yeah. That's how the dolls actually got started. My wife would let Sophia play with the doll. And while she was doing Sophia's hair, Sophia would be doing the doll's hair.
Uh-huh.
They would be saying different affirmations. She would say, okay, Sophia, say it after me. Say, I love my hair. And Sophia would say, I love my hair. And they would do that. Like, I love my hair. I love my nose.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect just the way I am. Different things like that. And those affirmations really built Naturally Perfect was all about.
That's what's up. I think that is literally naming it, the like calling it out, saying what we need to say. That is that's awesome. And I think I'm gonna buy that book because I can't afford the doll yet.
Stop.
But I have a niece Stop. Named Brielle.
He's just trying to get you to ship him a doll. So
Well, if I mean, hey, bro, if you want to ship me a doll, I am not going to say no. But I know that that's not what y'all here for. So, I got a niece named Brielle, so I'm like waiting for y'all to come out with the Brianna and a couple of other ones, just so I can. But I was like, I'll get the book right now because I won't get in trouble, or I just have to get I have to get them all off. I can't get the Brielle doll because then it won't be fair. So, but we definitely gonna have some. Yeah,
we hear the people reaching out to us and saying, hey, we love what you're doing. Man, we just wish we had a price point that'll make ease of entry better for us. When you look at where we are throughout the whole toy industry, 18-inch dolls that offer what we offer, I mean, it's quite affordable. The next comparable doll is like $150. Mm-hmm. So nearly double the cost of what we charge for our dolls retail. However, we do hear that, and we're making sure that we're preparing to serve our customers as best as possible. So look out for some price changes too this summer.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, and I don't get me wrong. I wasn't trying to.
I was just clowning on.
Yeah,
them.
We were just talking smack. Like real talk. Like yo, get out, get them dolls. If you out there buying some tennis shoes or something, if you're trying to be like Anthony Anderson. Buying your custom shoes every month, you need to go ahead and get a couple of these custom dolls, yo. Like, and help empower some of our young girls and our young boys, because it's not, you know, it's not just for girls, right? I mean, it can be for anybody who wants to play with them.
Right. Absolutely. So that I think we're in the books for episode number 23. Are we ready to take it to the outro?
Sure. I don't know why we'd be in the books. I don't. What does that mean? Like,
it's like it's in the books. It's like it's a.
You just be throwing. Okay.
It's in the books. It's closed. You know,
closed
chapter. You know, we down in the afterword section.
You're trying to push the same analogy. It didn't work. Okay. I thought we got through episode without me having to be curmudgeon, but
never. That you are Captain Curmudgeon.
I ain't. At least call me Admiral. I'm Captain. But anyway, so
thank you so much, Jason, for being with us on the show. Absolutely. We got one more last question about your social media and stuff, but we're gonna start out with by saying. For those who are listening and you got questions for us, please reach out to us at 607, you name it.
Yeah, 607-862-6348.
And for details and topics mentioned on this episode, check out our website, nameitpodcast.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at nameitpodcast.
Yeah. And where can we find Naturally Perfect Dolls online and in social media?
Definitely. You can find us online at www.naturallyperfectdolls.com. Of course, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram as well at Naturally Perfect Dolls, Twitter at NP Dolls. So you can find us at any of those places. And we just really appreciate you guys for having us today to continue to talk about diversity and empowerment for our young girls, especially on such a fantastic day.
Yeah, and I'm sure your social media is blowing up right now.
Yeah.
We're a little bit busy, but we always have time. Always have time.
All right, so and we'll definitely post up some links, and we'll put you guys on our social media and you know, retweet and all that good stuff. So if you like what you've heard, leave a review. If you want us to discuss a specific topic, send us a message, tweet, leave us you name it, and we'll try to incorporate it.
Absolutely. And where can we find you on social media, Dr. Palmer?
At DRBF Palmer on Twitter, or you can find me on Facebook, or just do a Google search. I'm pretty prominent on there now.
Okay.
First two pages. I checked it today. I was like, what? You know what I'm saying? I got my SEOs and all that together.
Yo. Hey now. Well, you can always look me up at Lamisha Hill on Twitter. And as always, a very special shout out to music on Naming It, provided by Lee England Jr., the soul violinist.
All right.
Hey, Lee England. I was on Making His Band with that guy. He's great.
What? Wait, hold up. Okay, special like bonus material. You know Lee?
Yeah, the violinist. He's the only violinist that made the Making His Band show.
Wow. Like, I went to school. Me and him went to school at the same time at SIU Carbondale.
Okay, okay, cool. Yeah. When no other violinist, I want to say even maybe try it out. But that guy is so cold-blooded on that violin. He came and killed it. So he had to get on the show. I mean, period.
Yeah, he's no joke. I mean, his stuff is, it's amazing. It's like he's building his own genre, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really is. He's just talented. You can't stop it. Mm-hmm. That's right. Possible to stop it. The music is in him and he feels it. And everybody else can feel it too. Shout out to Lee England, man. I haven't heard that name in a long time, but that guy's talented.
Yeah, he's doing big stuff right now. He's on Quincy Jones' label, and he's working with Michael Jordan's people. He's doing a lot of stuff, and he was gracious and kind to just let us use some of his music for the podcast. So we shout him out every time, just because, you know, people should know where you find him.
Of course, nah, he's dope.
That's right. Cool. Well, all right. I guess that. That does it for naming it this time, episode
23. Yeah. Speaking of Jumpman, yeah. MJ.
There you go.
23.
Okay, that matches. See, we talked about it.
Yeah, that boy's up to something.
All right. So is that it?
All right, for our listeners, if you don't know the song, go look that up.
Yeah.
That was a reference, y'all.
So is that it?
That's it.
All right, say it.
So keep naming it, y'all.
Peace.
Easy parking with Easy Trip, now available at Dundrum Town Centre. So you can now use your toll tags to park in our car parks. Simply register at easytrip.ie/parking. Easy parking with Easy Trip. Dundrum, where more happens.